Well, good morning, prayer partners. Yeah, what a privilege to be together again on this Easter Holy Week as we take time to pray. I'm looking forward to this time this morning with you, and I appreciate your commitment to prayer partners. We are in week number 9 of our prayer training, and it's hard to believe, but we've got 8 weeks into this series on the top 10 prayer killers in a Christian's life, things that can disconnect and kill off our prayer connection with God. And we have discovered and looked together at 8 of those, and I'm just looking back through my notes. The first prayer killer we spoke of was unconfessed sin. The second was a lack of faith. The third was disobedience. The fourth was lack of transparency with God and others. The fifth was unforgiveness. The sixth was wrong motives. The seventh was idols in our lives. And the eighth was disregard for others. So today, we're going to take a look at the 9th prayer killer. And as we do, I'd like to identify it with this phrase, disregard for God's sovereignty. Disregard for God's sovereignty. This is one of those things that can get between us and God and can block our prayer connection with Him. We want to avoid it. And I think deep down in all of our hearts, we naturally, as followers of Christ, want to avoid this prayer killer. So what is it, and how does it creep into our lives? That's the two questions that I want us to think about this morning. As we further define God's sovereignty before talking about what might creep into our lives and bring it about, let's define first, what is God's sovereignty? I like one definition that comes to us through Jesus' teachings when he taught the Lord's Prayer. You're welcome to join in with me on these first few phrases of the Lord's Prayer. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." When you look at those two phrases, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, you're touching on the sovereignty of God. He has a kingdom, and he has a will. And those need to be preeminent in our hearts and lives. That's why Jesus put those at the very beginning of the prayer. Before the prayer, "Forgive us this day our daily bread," the prayer before, "Forgive us our trespasses," the prayer before, "Lead us not into temptation," the prayer before, "Deliver us from evil," it was, "May your kingdom come, may your will be done." When we're fully committed to the kingdom, when we're fully committed to the will of God, whether it's at the very top of our prayer or whether it's at the very top of our hearts or at the top of our daily lives, why, I think that's the sovereignty of God being honored and exercised as I think Christ wants us to exercise it. But those two questions that I posed just a moment ago, what is it that somehow creeps in and causes us, maybe not knowingly even at times, to disregard the sovereignty of God? What keeps us from seeking that kingdom first? What keeps us from pursuing His will as the very top priority of our lives? There's a word that I think helps me remind myself, and I hope it'll help you remind yourselves. It's called preoccupation. preoccupation. We can have things preoccupying our minds, things that are preoccupying our hearts and our calendars and our checkbooks, that somehow just kind of creep in without us realizing, and they become the number one concern, the number one issue, the number one occupation of our minds. A couple Sundays ago, we looked at Luke's 14th chapter where Jesus taught about the parable of the banquet. And the idea of being preoccupied was one of the things that Jesus dealt with in that parable. Let's just go back and in our minds revisit it for just a moment. A great master had prepared a great banquet, and he wanted people to be a part of it. So he sent out invitations. People said, yes, we'll come. And then on the actual day of the banquet, he sent out his servant again and said to those who had already been invited, look, the meal is now ready. The seats, the table is prepared. Come. And if you noticed, one by one, the people that had already been invited, the people that had already said, yes, I want to come, they began to make excuses. One said, well, I would like to come, but I've just bought some land, and I need to go and see it. And then a second said, you know, I've just bought some oxen, and I need to go and prove them. And then the third said, I'd sure like to come, and I think it's a wonderful thing, but I just got married, and I really need to spend some time with my wife. And without saying the word preoccupation, Jesus points to that issue in the lives of the people of that parable. They were preoccupied with some good things, but those good things came first. And they came before the invitation and the desire and the wish of their master who had done so much for them. And I think that's how it works in our lives. We have a desire to say, Lord, let your kingdom come first. Let your will be done. I want to do it. But then things just kind of creep in and we get preoccupied with our lives. And those things that are important and good to our daily lives somehow more and more and more preoccupy our mind, and they begin to preoccupy our heart. And then when the time to actually carry out God's will, the time to actually carry out and bring about God's kingdom come in real ways, why, we're gone. We're absent. We're not there. And I think that's what in the parable angered the master. And I think that's a good illustration of what it means to disregard God's sovereignty. If God really is God and we are his children, and if he has a kingdom and if he has a will, then that needs to be preeminent, is what I think we need to be reminded of. And our great temptation and our great challenge, and I'm including myself in this, life has a way of getting a hold of us, and we're preoccupied with everything else to the extent that there's no more time for God's kingdom. There's no more time for God's will. May we avoid that, because I believe when that happens, our prayer life will begin to suffer. Our prayer connection will begin to wane. And we didn't mean for it to, but it just kind of creeps in. So what I want to do is just say, this is probably one of the great prayer killers of our time. Just disregard for God's sovereignty. I don't think a lot of us want it to happen, mean for it to happen, but we need to be on guard for it. And so I guess we have to ask ourselves this question. Well, Lord, is there something in me that's preoccupying me to the point where I can't carry out your will and I don't have time for your kingdom? And if God reveals that to us, we have to say, Lord, help me to be sure and put your kingdom first and your will as the top priority of my lives, our lives. And when we say that and mean that, our prayer connection will be strong and we'll be able to continue serving God and knowing that our connection with him is clear. As a way of applying this to our lives this week, we're in the middle of Easter week, and there's lots of opportunities coming this weekend. On Saturday and Sunday, there will be two worship services that we offer to the whole community. It's in the paper, it's on our website, and I know a lot of us are telling people about it. We're going to present a wonderful Easter presentation, Walk to Emmaus, and I want to thank everyone, including you all, here at Parkview that's kind of putting their lives on hold, and they are putting this kingdom effort at the top of their list, at the top of their priorities. Lots of people are rehearsing music. Lots of people are building props. Lots of people are practicing drama. Lots of people are inviting friends, and they are putting aside some of their own interests and their own occupations in order for that to happen. I think that's a way that we can show God that we do want his kingdom to come. We do want his will to be done. And I'm so grateful for a church that still wants to take that on and do that for the kingdom of God. Because more and more, as I look around our world, I see a world that needs this message more than it's ever needed it. And I see a tendency for it to start to be pushed aside, even by well-meaning people in the kingdom. And so let's keep this focus. Let's keep this emphasis in our church, and let's keep it in our lives, is what I'm trying to affirm this morning. Doing the kingdom work of God will exhaust you. Doing the will of God will wear you out, but it's his work, and it's his will, and it's a good thing. Later, we're going to talk about some ways that we could even help with the kingdom efforts this weekend through prayer. In fact, I may go ahead and dive into that, Helen. Helen and I have talked about, is there a way for us to support this Easter weekend through prayer on site, simultaneous with the actual worship experience? And what we're going to do, Helen and I are going to ask y'all to prayerfully consider, and this is all voluntary, but we're going to ask any and everyone, even if you're watching this or even if you're listening to this later in a pre-recorded form, if you would be willing during one of the two services this weekend to find a quiet place and pray for the period while the actual service is going on, it would be a way that we could pray for the kingdom to come and pray for God's will to be done in the hearts of the hearers and in the hearts of those who are presenting this. And we're hopeful that maybe, and it doesn't have to be a lot of people, but if some people were praying Saturday night during the presentation, they would then be free to come to the service on Sunday morning and watch themselves, or vice versa. If they were watching on Saturday night, and some others would pray on Sunday morning, so that everyone has one service where you're praying, but the other service where you're actually able to worship. And so that's the proposal that we would like to place on your awareness and ask you to consider. And if you feel led to try that, just see Helen or myself after this time this morning. But that to me would be a wonderful, wonderful way that we could demonstrate the sovereignty and our high regard for God's sovereignty, that even while the service is ongoing, we're praying, God, let your kingdom come. God, let your will be done. Let your message get out to these people. Let these people respond. Because during this presentation, there will be a time for people to respond to Jesus Christ. And there will be an opportunity for follow-up after this service concludes. We're going to have a section in our fellowship hall set apart for people who, during this service, responded to the gospel message, to be followed up by some of us in this room. Helen and I are talking about that. You may be one of those that are asked to sit in with the people while they're being followed up in the aftermath of this service. So these are some ways that, in a very practical way, we're trying to apply this principle of a high regard for God's sovereignty in the ministry of this church, and in particular in the week of Easter. So I share those things, and I ask you to be prayerful and thoughtful and listen. And if you get a nudge from the Holy Spirit and you want to respond and talk to Helen or myself, feel welcome to do so. I think that we're going to wrap up now, and I would like for us to do what we started out with, and that's pray the prayer. We're going to pray the prayer of high regard for God's sovereignty. We're going to use Jesus' own words and pray for this kingdom to come and God's will to be done. Would you join me and let's bow? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and we'll see you next Tuesday. For those who are watching and listening, may God bless you. See you next week.